Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected and honorable elders, beloved brothers in Islam, amongst the five things that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is going to question us without our feet moving on the day of Qiyamah, one is how we earned our wealth, and the second is where we spent our wealth. We are now at this time of the year when the whole world will speak about Black Christmas and messages coming onto the screens of our phones, our computers, and all of that. And the question is, do I need or don't I need? Or is there just a desire for us to purchase because something may seem to be cheap? And then it becomes worse when a person does not have the funds for it, and one buys on account, and that even becomes worse when somebody taps and then the interest mounts on and we are unable to make those payments. So when we look into the hadith of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha used to relate and narrate a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam persistently, she says continuously, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azabil qabr. O Allah, I seek your refuge from the punishment of the qabr. In this particular hadith, there is no mention of the azab of the fire of Jahannam or the azab of the day of Qiyamah, but more about the qabr. And we all have heard from time to time the words of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that when he would hear anybody speak about qabr, whether it was our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or anyone else, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to cry so abundantly. And when people would ask him, that we notice when Jahannam is spoken about, Qiyamah is spoken about, any other aspect is spoken about, you do not sob and cry like you sob and cry at the mention of the azab of the qabr. He said that that is the first stage. If that goes well, then everything thereafter will go well. So that is the one dua that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abundantly made. Then our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would add on to that, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azabil qabr وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ. And I seek your protection, your refuge, O Allah, from the fitna of Masih al-Dajjal. We know and we understand that that fitna is a fitna of Iman and Kufr. A fitna of Iman and Kufr, where our Iman will be tested, and Allah Ta'ala give us steadfastness if ever we see those days. But be rest assured that even if Dajjal did not emerge, the fitnas and the trials of Dajjal are already in front of us. And of course, the recitation of Surah Al-Kahf on a Friday, the first 10 and the last 10 ayats of Surah Al-Kahf is an emancipation from that fitna. Thereafter, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam would add on to that dua, وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَحْيَا وَالْمَمَاتِ. And O Allah, I seek protection from the trials of life, the trials of living. We are all in this world, and there are going to be trials. And in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as Qiyamah approaches, those fitan and those trials are going to become so frequent. It's like what we will call the tasbih, that when it is opened, the rosary, when that is opened out and it breaks, and how quickly we see those beads following one after the other, we are going to see those fitnas. We hardly come to terms with what had happened and what is happening in Syria, and then we have what is the crisis of Palestine, and then that of Sudan, the ongoing crisis of Yemen, the ongoing crisis of Kashmir, and it goes on a global scale, on a domestic scale, on a community scale, on an individual. We see that these trials are following one after the other. So Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has shown us the best protection. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَحْيَا. And then, مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَحْيَا وَالْمَمَاتِ. And the fitna and the trials at the time of death. We all know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allah give us death on Iman. But at that time of maut, shaitan will come in two forms. One, the form of our mother, and shaitan in that form, we seeing our deceased mother, and she says to us that, my son, I have gone through all of this. Our entire lives, we had been obedient to our parents, we had been obedient to our mother, and now is the trial time when she says to us that, my son, your only emancipation is to accept Christianity. At that time is a very severe test and a very severe trial. And then, if the person passes that test, shaitan now personifies the father. And the father says to the son, oh my son, I have gone through all of this, and the only emancipation is the emancipation of accepting Judaism. Again, an entire life of obedience to one's parents. At that time, what a trial. Allah Ta'ala save us. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protect us. Allah Ta'ala grant us maut on Iman. So, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought protection from the fitan, from the trials of life, the trials of living in this world, and the trials at the time of death. And then the last, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ Ma'tham wal maghram. Wa'udhu bika min fitnatil ma'tham. O Allah, I seek protection from the trials of sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in various ahadith, he was the Nabi of Allah, and every Nabi of Allah is masoom. Every Nabi of Allah is infallible, sinless. But this he left for the Ummah, that we seek protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from sin. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriqi wal-maghrib. O Allah, distant for me, the distance between me and my sins should be like the distance between the east and the west. That the east will never get any closer to the west than it is. And that is how Allah keep me far away from sins. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Wal maghram." What is the meaning of maghram? Maghram means debt. When we owing somebody. And we find in different riwayat, in different hadiths, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua to the extent that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam make this dua so abundantly that many Sahaba would comment to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how often do you make this dua of protection from debt?" Now friends, this is something that we all need to apply our minds. Look at the preceding protections he asked for. We will understand that very easily. Azab of Qabr, the fitna of Dajjal, the trials of life and death, asking Allah protection from sin. But this one particular aspect that has been joined to the others in this Mubarak hadith and other ahadith of du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should give us some inclination in our hearts and our minds that there has to be a very great severity of debt that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeks protection. Nonetheless, Sahaba asked him, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why do you make this so abundantly?" So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a person is indebted, when he's owing people money, haddatha fakadaba. Whenever he speaks, he lies. He makes a promise, he breaks that promise. He is saying, "I will pay you on a certain date," the due date pass, and then he begins to make excuses, he begins to blame, and he begins to lie, which the muhaddithin say, undoubtedly, has an impact on the iman of that individual. So friends, that is the one aspect that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made dua. Then we find Imam Nasa'i, rahimahumullah, he was a great muhaddith. He was from amongst those six most authentic muhaddithin on his compilation of Nasa'i. Imam Nasa'i, rahimahumullah, had a very unique habit in his compilation. That regarding one aspect, he would bring about chapters, even if it was one hadith. And in one chapter that Imam Nasa'i rahimahumullah brings about is Babu At-Taghlid Fid-Dain. The chapter of the severe impact of debt. And in this chapter, Imam Nasa'i rahimahumullah, he brings a hadith of a sahabi, Muhammad ibn Jahash radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in which he says, "Kunna julusan inda Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." We were on one occasion sitting by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like the sahaba would do. Either Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to impart some ahadith, some knowledge, or he's going to tell them about an ayah of the Quran that was revealed, or he may ask the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum a question, whatever. But these Sahaba, he says, Muhammad ibn Jahash says, we were sitting by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when suddenly, yarfa'u ra'sahu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned his head ila sama, towards the sky. And then he takes his hand and he puts it onto his forehead. When we see somebody that comes across something that is unbelievable, something that is shocking in certain customs, certain people in certain countries will knock their forehead with their hand. And that is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَا هَذَا التَّجْدِيدُ أَلَّذِي نُزِّلَ. What a great severity has been revealed. And we could see from the outward appearance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was disturbed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not speak. He remained silent. Muhammad ibn Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that when we saw all of this, we did not ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam anything. But the next day, when we came into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then we asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what was that tashdeed? What was that severe occurrence that was revealed and sent down to you yesterday? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Qasam, in the name of that being whose hand is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent down to me, that inna rajulan, a person, kutila fi sabilillah thumma uhiya thumma kutila thumma uhiya thumma kutila. A person becomes shaheed in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then after he becomes shaheed, one shaheed, just once, was supposed to have been sufficient. How many of those ahadith, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked, Ayyul a'mali afdal, Ayyul islami afdal, which action, which of Islam is the best? And how many times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-Iman billah, thumma ma, whatever thereafter, al-jihad fi sabilillah. How many times did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam speak about emerging in the path of Allah? And how many more times did he speak about becoming a shaheed in the path of Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in the Quran Sharif. That do not say, لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتِ. That person who has become shaheed, who has become martyr in the path of Allah, that he is dead. Like how we would say he is dead and gone. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ. But he is alive. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. But you do not understand that mode of life that he is in. That his ruh is in the birds of Jannah, that is flying under the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that he becomes shaheed in the path of Allah once, and then thumma uhiya, that person is brought back to life. And then Allah gives him the opportunity in that second life, if there was, and he fights and he in the path of Allah, thumma kutila fi sabilillah. Then that person, for the second time, he becomes a shaheed in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then again, Allah ta'ala gives him life. And now the third time, thumma uhiya, he is given that opportunity to become shaheed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on three occasions, he would have been the most beloved to Allah. But that person had debt on his head, and he had not paid that debt. Then his ruh will be imprisoned, and his ruh will not be allowed to enter Jannah. Brothers, this is that tajdeed, this is that taghleedh, that severity that was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Salama ibn Aqwa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that once a janaza was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, does this person have any debt? When it was said no, he performed the janaza. There's one thing striking in this hadith. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't ask, is his salat all up to date? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't ask, is his zakah all up to date? He didn't ask, did this man have the funds to perform hajj and he did not perform hajj? Or is he fasting? Nothing of that sort. Does this man have any debt? They said, no, he performed the janaza salat. Then another janaza was brought. Muhaddithin say, from the appearance of this hadith and another hadith of Salma ibn Aqwa, it could have been the same day or on another occasion. Nonetheless, he asked that this person have debt, and it was said yes. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, did he leave an estate inheritance? They said yes. He said, pay out the debt from that inheritance, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the salatul janaza. The third janaza came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did this man have any debt? And the answer was yes. Does he have anything in his estate? The answer was no. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you perform the janaza salat of your brother. Brothers, if any of our imams, ulama, or anyone refused to perform a family member's janaza, what would go through our hearts? But here Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing the severity of an act that a person carried out, which essentially may not be even haram in the Shariat, but the severity of it is what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants to show. Sayyiduna Abu Qatada radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was one of the congregants. He said, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, salli alayhi, perform the salah upon him. I will take over the responsibility of the debt. So friends, that is from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam side to show us the severity. Then we find Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi quotes the famous words of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, iyyakum wad-dain, iyyakum wad-dain, keep away from debt. فَإِنَّ أَوَّلَهُ هَمٌّ وَآخِرَهُ حَرْبٌ. The very beginning of it is hum, worry. You've taken this debt, now you've got this worry on your head. And that worry will eat you and does not allow you to do much. You lose yourself in it. And then you're unable to pay. وَآخِرَهُ حَرْبٌ. Now you begin to fight with everyone. We're living in this environment, friends, that we will all speak about the economy, things are not good. But on the other hand, as much as things may not be good, if we are going to go on tapping, and if we are going to go on buying things that we do not need, with money that we don't have to please the people that we don't like, and we're going to go on, and the environment is becoming so toxic, with regards to debt in our community, we need to sit back and we need to ponder, do I need the article? Do I have the funds for it? If I don't have the funds for it, keep away, abstain from it. Debt is one aspect of the disease and the difficulties that we are going through. The second aspect, very, very quickly, is now we indebted to the bank. And when we indebted to the bank, there is an automatic interest that now accrues. They give you your 55 days or whatever interest free. And that what creates that thought in our hearts that we are able to cope. But when we go further, what happens? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah wadharu ma baqiya min al-riba in kuntum mu'mineen. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the whole ummah. And Allah ta'ala says, now remember, in an environment where interest was permissible, Allah now makes it impermissible, and whatever now has been accrued as interest, the lender, Allah is saying to the lender, now relinquish all of that, forgive all of that. On Hajjatul Wada, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first interest that I drop and it is forgiven is the interest of my uncle Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Do we know what monies was owed to Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Some years ago it was converted to 44 million rands. And Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu had foregone, he gave up all of that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Friends, on the other hand, some of us have this notion that we cannot expand our business if we do not get involved in interest. Look at one example and we terminate. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at the time of Hijrah, he made Hijrat from Makkah. He had to leave whatever funds he had in Makkah Mukarramah. He comes to Madinah Munawwara. In one narration, 2 coins. In another narration, 4 coins. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now makes him the brother of Sa'd ibn Rabi'ah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sa'd ibn Rabi'ah is a very well-to-do person, a wealthy person. He says to him, Abdul Rahman, I have 2 orchards, I'll give you 1. Gratis, take it and move. Abdul Rahman says, Jazakumullah khair, show me where the marketplace is. And with the 2 or 4 coins, the 2 or 4 dinars that he had, he begins engaging in business. And brothers and friends, when he left this world, again, if his wealth was converted, 923 billion USD was the wealth that Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu had left in his inheritance. Not 1 cent that was loaned, borrowed, not 1 cent was taken even as a gift free. But he left this ummah a very, very important precedence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that gives sustenance. Liquidity was what he had gone for, and Allah ta'ala had given him. Ulama have written that when you look at his biography, one other aspect was his absolute honesty when it came to business. He used to sell horses. And if he had known about a fault in that horse, immediately he will point it out to the buyer. So brothers and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very beautiful deen. Do not sell our sleep for sleepless nights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us the way. Rosy and sustenance is from Allah. What we do not need, let us not buy, especially when we don't have the funds for it. Let us not tap that card if we know that we do not have the funds. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and the ability to practice. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.